This is the podcast for passionate, sex-positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Coming up on the show today, clutching the metaphoric pearls. Sue cannot wait to tell you about some of the hot, steamy sex scenes going on in Bridgerton. Oh, my. A brand new study from Finland all about upping your desire. We're going to talk about the lure of uncomplicated sex, Sue's new sex hacks, your kinky confessions from our website at turnedonpodcast.com. Last week, we addressed swinger cruises. This week, part two of that conversation. We have a listener question. A 31-year-old virgin wants to know a thing or two. Sex after 50, and I want to find my kink. That's all coming up for you with the best in the business, Sex with Sue's Sue McGarvey. Welcome to Turned On with Sue and John. Nobody makes sex more fun than Sex with Sue's Sue McGarvey. Bar none, the best sex educator on the planet. And what a privilege to have her here on Turned On with Sue and John. Hey, Sue.
Hey, baby, and people don't know how cool you are. 43 markets, is it 43, 44, 45 markets around North America? He is thundering into your, your living room, but I'm hoping into your bedroom with Turned On.
I hope so,
with
too.
With Sue and John, yay. Yeah. I let him do, and when he reads erotica, everybody starts purring.
We got to do more of that. Thank you for the
we
reminder.
We have to do more of that.
Hey, have you written some erotica? Get in touch, turnedonpodcast.com. All of our contact information is there. I'd love to read that in the podcast for you. All right. I know you're chomping at the bit to get to this. You are a big fan of Bridgerton. You were saying it has some of the hottest, steamiest sex scenes around.
Ever recorded. Oh, my God. And as I said, if you're a guy and you think I don't get this, I'm telling you, put it on Thursday night. It starts the new season, Bridgerton season 3. And everybody, all the women I know are waiting for this series to launch because it is female porn on Netflix. Hottest sex scenes, OMFG. It was, as I said, clutching the metaphoric pearls because we're all like, ah! There was a scene in last season where they're up against a tree. Sequence lasts like 3 minutes, which is long, and they're going at it in the rain. And then there's, there was the first season where they're doing it on a ladder and they're in, out broad daylight. And this is Victorian age. Oh my God, lusty sex. Well, it's, tasteful, burning, fun, amazing amount of sexual positions, oral on the stairs. There's a gay scene in the bathroom and the bathtub that was just like, two men. This is Shonda Rhimes who did, she's done a whole bunch of series, and they talk about the sex coordinators and the intimacy things, but they spend most of their money planning these sex scenes. And I'm telling you, hottest stuff on television.
So
and they're doing it with corsets.
With corsets. Well, hello.
Yes.
Who should really be watching that? Her or him or both?
Well, I'm going to tell you, the women are going to be all over it. At least all the women I know. And if you're a guy and you're just rolling your eyes, I'm telling you, watch it with her. Hold her hand, trace, just start, touching the inside of her wrist, play with her feet. You're going to get some. If you do that, this is the slammest dunk that you could possibly have.
There you
have.
Go. There it is.
Because it's so fucking sexy. Oh, Bridgerton. So you're not sure why, but I'm telling you, it starts Thursday night and everybody's going to be talking about it. Don't miss it.
Next up, you want to talk about a study from Finland all about upping your desire.
I do. And they, they do a lot of nice things in Finland. They, they frolic in the midnight sun. And, I don't know if you've been catching the aurora this week, but little colors across your body. I know I'm not up that late either. But what they say in Finland is they talked about desire And to be able to be not just spontaneous, but to take a risk and jump your partner, like literally say, I want it now. And, you know, we've both had situations where we've been turned down and you think, you know, if you turn down a while, but they're saying that the people who can do that or the couples who have that kind of ability to say, I really want you right now, or what can we do right now to make it happen? And I know I've talked a lot about scheduling sex, but they're saying just ask, number one. Number two, eat. And here they are, very finished. 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day, along with fish oils. I guess this is what they eat in Finland, and they're all horn dogs. But they found that the difference between, you know, very simply upping the amount of fruits and vegetables you eat will remarkably change that. And I don't know if it's the fish oils alone or the fruit and vegetables will remarkably change your desire. Finally, they're talking about low level vibration. And I know I've said this before because I used to, you know, send my, there was a couple in Toronto that had a sex toy company called Lady Calston, and they made back in the 90s, the tickling panty, which was a basically a silver dollar sized vibrating disc that you put into the panty and you could take out, wash the panty, put it back into this little sleeve.
Okay.
And that you would wear them while you were doing housework was what they did a little video about, the, you know, and this is my friend Cindy, who was the director of Lady Calston, vacuuming her house in her high heels and her panty. And she had, you know, the fake boobs and the big blonde hair, and she was sweet as pie, but sexy. Doing around with this, you know, vibrating panty. I can still remember the commercial. And it allows that sort of low level vibration that just kind of gets you into the mood. So they're saying you may want to try that slow burn because it really does have an impact. Finished study that's just out. Eat your fruits and veggies, everybody. Take your fish oils, jump your partner, and let's talk about low level vibration.
The lure of uncomplicated sex. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Well, they had a lot of, and especially again for women, but it's, there's a lot of times where uncomplicated one night stands, just fuck buddies, is a thing in women's life. There was a lot of women that were saying that having casual sex really helped them between, you know, in sort of in between dating. There was one woman who said she was recently separated. The last thing she wanted was a relationship, but boy, she was never so horny as when her previous relationships. And that seems to be a thing with women. If, you know, they're out of sort of bad relationships where the sex has been bad, all of a sudden you pull the, you know, you just pull the things off and guess what? We're into it.
Well, we've given permission to that now too, right? Like, it, you know, if that ever happened, you know, in the 70s, 80s, even early 90s, it was never talked about. Now,
you didn't talk about
it. Go for it.
No. Yeah. Well, and they were saying that, you know, a few of them were dating. Like, these are some of the survey questions and answers. They were saying that they were dating either guys that were married, coworkers, but they said they felt, you know, ignored during COVID and both going through a lot of shit. So finding somebody uncomplicated was really good. And what it does is it leads to, you know, learning your body and being able to sort of close that orgasm gap and say, you know, this is casual sex where you don't have to worry too much about agendas, et cetera. It also leads to greater confidence. It allows kink exploration, which we're all, you know, a benefit for. More and more kink exploration. And it allows you to say that it is a chance for a lot of women to explore bisexuality. Now, bisexuality, I know guys are like, oh, bisexuality, but a lot more women than you think are interested in exploring, want to play, or if they've had experiences, they want opportunities to do it some more. I certainly, you know, have had sex with women in the past, and, you know, there are phases where it's just like stuff you will just things you want to try. And then, in, you know, often, at least for me and for a lot of women I talk to, go away or come back in waves. But you don't have to consider yourself gay, lesbian, bisexual or anything to want to play. And for a lot of women, that casual sex allows them to do that. So playing with couples, being the unicorn. And that was the, you know, that was one of the conversations I heard about, and we're going to get into it with, so you want to be a swinger, about the Bliss cruise that just finished, was that there were far more bisexual, maybe even lesbian women on these cruises as the unicorn looking to play with couples. So stay tuned for that.
It's the Milkman, John Milkey. She is Sue McGarvey. It's Turned On with Sue and John. Time for this week's brand new sex hack, Sue.
Ooh, sex hacks. Ooh, I like sex hacks. You know, and I'm trying to mix it up a little bit so that it's not all the same stuff, because sometimes it's what's new in sex. And I wish there was more new in sex things. There's a new wellness brand celebrating shameless pleasure with an innovative menstrual cup so you can have sex on the rag there. But there really is some neat stuff going on. So here we go. Sex hacks, the egg yolk theory. You may have seen it on TikTok, but it became a thing. So it's not that you crack eggs all over your partner and squish them all over in, you know, egg whites. No. What you do is you hold an egg white in your, or an egg, like an egg yolk in your hand, and you move it around with your thumb. If you put too much pressure, what happens is you break it and there is yellow goo all over the place. But what they're saying is moving it around with your thumb without breaking it is the amount of pressure you should have on the clit.
Ah.
I know. So if you want to practice a really clear sex hack, crack an egg, get the yolk in your hand, and don't break it. See I know it's kind of like that thing they do in high school where you grab an egg and you have to carry it around and not leave it in your locker and pretend it's a baby. You have to get a babysitter. But this is actually, you know, trying not to break the yolk and seeing what happens.
Of course, the joke that comes to mind is what comes first?
The yolk, yeah.
I had to.
There is a new study that says drinking coffee before sex can lead to a bigger orgasm.
Oh.
And it really actually has some science validity because it increases about blood flow, right? And the idea, there was also some research this week talking about different methods of birth control. There is the, you know, basically the rhythm method where the couples avoid having intercourse during the 5 days a month women can get pregnant, which right. is the day you ovulate and the 4 days before that. But here's the numbers. If you do that, if you just look at the calendar and whether or not you have sex, you have to wait for all the planets to align, 24 pregnancies for every 100 couples who use this method every year. So they call those people daddy. And finally, I know, right? So finally, they have some new things. I don't know if you've been hearing about all the dating hacks and how bad they are, the dating apps, and they're trying to get better at them, but their soul-crushing experience and how much of them are fake. Well, what they have now is a new thing where you can put in words. So the hack is, especially if you're on one for non-monogamy or alternative ones, you can put in words and you can ban different words. So you can use hidden innuendos, because it used to be saying that if you were a fun girl, you're more likely to have sex. But now you can put in secret words hidden in your dating app to try and attract, you know, I like bare feet, you know, in the sand, and you can make them bigger and they can come up with kind of, it's almost like a code where if you take the words, you're like, I like to, you know, I got a foot fetish, baby, you know, kind of in your ad.
Well, it's something we talk about with this podcast a lot. It's basic SEO or search engine optimization. It's using the right words in order to find the right thing.
Yes. And this way you can do it on your dating apps. So try it on Hinge. Try not Bumble, not Match, but Hinge, Grindr with a gay one. And certainly some of the alternative, you know, you can go on Adult Friend Finder and be really out there. But if you're going on mainstream dating apps, give it a try and see if that hack really works. I'm going to be doing science experiments and we can talk a little bit more about how that attracted people next week on Turned On with Sue and John.
It is confession time. I am not Father John, but you can call me Daddy, maybe. if you're so inclined. It is our kinky confession. So here's the deal. On our website, turnedonpodcast.com, right at the top, there's a space where you can confess anything to do with sex, things you desire, things you've done, etc. That's up to you. We don't require an email address, a phone number. There's nothing that identifies you. It's 100% anonymous. So take advantage. Our kinky confessions this week from turnedonpodcast.com, beginning with this one. I sucked a guy's dick in front of his wife while my husband was out getting me coffee.
Well, that's to the point. Yeah. Was it a Starbucks? Was there a line? You must have had to do it. Yeah. You know, if you're going to the really, you know, the Peruvian coffee, organic coffee, where it's ground in front of you making frothy things, maybe you have a little more time. But
frothy things.
I hope it's not the Timmy's drive-thru.
I rode a motorcycle for the first time, this person says, and got so turned on from the vibrations and the thrill of it all, I actually had an orgasm while hanging on to my partner who was driving. That sounds delicious. Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Mm. And finally, from our kinky confessions this week at turnedonpodcast.com, this person writes, I'm in my 50s and have always been an insatiable slut. I'm typically drawn to men who give me rough, hard sex and know how to F me. My husband of many years thinks it's great and we're in an open relationship. Of course, we have to keep that secret, but that is our confession. Always on the lookout for amazing dicks.
There it is. God love everybody. Come on, bring it on. Kinky confessions. We really, 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 really want to hear you. It was funny. We've got a duckling walk this week through the tiptoe through the tulips. The ad says, let's flock, right? So everybody gathering as a duckling. And, you know, it's always interesting when I do these things because there's a walk and people go, so Sue, I have this thing that happened to me. Is this normal? The thing about sex therapists, right? And I often get it. I'm in line ordering deli or I'm somewhere somebody sees me and they're like, so this happened. I keep thinking I'm going to start writing, you know, but at least I know who they are. So if you go on our website, you don't know because kinky confessions are so fucking hot.
Last week on the podcast, we talked about lifestyle cruises and the differences between some that are for nudists and others that are much wilder, shall we say, for swingers, for example. So this week, it's the Swinger Cruise Part 2.
Yes. Section 2. Well, I had a lot of interest and inquiries, you know, sue@sexwithsue.com. And a bunch of people have been asking me more and more about it. And again, as the lifestyle becomes more mainstream, and it turns out that, well, the Ashley Madison group did a study and the biggest group that are going into the lifestyle are that Gen Z in Canada or Gen Z, where they're much younger and starting to have the inquiries. Now, I don't know if you can afford to go. I'm not sure. Unless I got a deal, I wasn't going because it's almost $500 a night per stateroom.
Wow.
US. So big money to come do that. So somebody asked what it is. They have a new one that's coming through the West Indies, which is Kingston and Bridgetown. So it's those cities where you're talking about Jamaica and you're talking about Barbados and sort of the West Indies. But it's still, you know, cheapest room I saw was like $429 a night. And yeah, I think there's a couple and, you know, the food's included, et cetera, but it's not cheap. It's not for the faint of heart, but they have the best themes, you know, besides the cheerleader one or the naughty nurse, the naughty medical. They've got, you know, the first responders. So you can be in the hunky firefighter outfit. They've got a jungle theme and safari. They have the cowboy one, you know, a little Western theme with the chaps. They have neon. Everybody looks like Tron. And apparently the owner, especially of the Desire Temptation one, loved the lingerie night so much. He's insisting on having that theme every week and apparently flies in wherever he's from to come and see that theme, whether it's at Desire in Cancun or Temptations, because he likes that theme so much that he gets to come and watch all of the underwear, all of the lingerie themes of what people wear are fantastic. So worth seeing the pictures. That's what's coming up on, you know, so if you can afford it, it's, and you want to try a new one for 2026, the cruises are going on. And have a really close attention to how much fun this is. And I was, as I was mentioning earlier, for a lot of times, it was, I guess, the largest gathering of unicorns ever at Lifestyle, because for a while they were called unicorns for a reason. You could not get single women that wanted to play with couples.
Right.
But as women become more sexually emancipated, yes, we are more likely to want to go on our own on a swingers cruise. It, you know, it takes balls to do that. In this case, no balls, but you know, going on a swinger cruise as a single woman by yourself. And I applaud you. Stand up and absolutely applaud you. So more of that coming up as you you find that. And if you have any questions about it, you know, check out, send me an email, sue@sexwithsue.com. I have a whole blog about it.
We want to thank our sponsors at Eden Fantasies. That is FANTASYS, EdenFantasies.com. And this week, Sue has zoned in on fuck machines.
Fuck machines are fun. Well, somebody asked me, they said, I'm a single guy. I'm really like anal stimulation. I have a vibrating butt plug, but I want a pegging machine. Is there such a thing?
Yes, there is.
And they're not called pegging machines, which is, you know, basically getting banged up your ass, but, you know, strap-ins, but they do have fuck machines and they can be da-da-da-da-da. And I was saying how I had an engineer friend make me a Sawzall with a dildo on the end of it that, you know, used for vaginal stimulation. And it was something you had to turn it, like you couldn't put it up very high because otherwise it was like, bah. I certainly wouldn't want to put that up rectally for somebody, especially on autopilot. And I'm trying to think of, you know, if you have a, have some kind of handle that has a cord that you can trigger it yourself. But some of the fuck machines, and you were reading them off the Eden Fantasies website. Have a look at what they are.
So there is the auto fuck, F-U-K, which makes it less dirty when you take the C out of it. the Sexobot. There's the Bionics. This one's hot. I need this for the dungeon. The Ride-On Sex Chair. There is the Spirit Sex Machine as well, and the G-Spot Lovers Sex Machine, which sort of entry-level stuff. I love them because they have little suction cups on the end, so they, you know, they suction onto your shower, for example. They look like the suction cups that hold my my dash cam onto my windshield in my truck. So there's all kinds, you know, mild to wild there. And you know what? The price is, every single one of them is under $230.
Yeah, Eden Fantasies is a great site.
Amazing. EdenFantasies.com, or just click their banner at TurnedOnPodcast.com. You can reach out to Sue through our website, TurnedOnPodcast.com, or email her direct, Sue@SexWithSue.com. And you got a letter from someone who is a 31-year-old virgin and wants to know, is that too weird?
Nope. I've had, you know, 49-year-old virgins. In fact, I just had a client who is a 69-year-old virgin. So sometimes it happens. Average age, just so you know, for losing your V card is 16.9 for boys and 17.4 for girls. How old were you? I think I was about 16.3.
I was about 17. Yeah.
Yeah, about 17. That's when typically in North America, you lose your virginity. So if you're 29 and it hasn't happened because you were busy, I find it, especially with women who were really involved in sport. As a parent, you're trying to keep your girls from being sexually active too early. Put them in organized sports. You know, yes. Apparently the one, you know, if you're treating your body like a temple and you're busy doing organized sports, if you're on a team like the girls' volleyball, apparently you are less likely to engage in early sex than if you're not. The other thing is, if you are in a girls-only school, you know, sort of same-sex education works great for girls, not so much for boys. Boys need women to moderate them, but women who don't have men around or boys around, they do better at school and they do better and they're more likely to push back sexual activity. On the other hand, if you're an adult woman, and I've seen some, I had one who was, she was a diplomat. She, you know, finished her master's degree, then went on to do a PhD. And she said, it just didn't happen. I put my head down. I went to school. I was working two jobs. I just didn't have time. I'm one of those people who doesn't like anything casual and didn't have time for a relationship. And I looked up and found myself at 26 with still an intact hymen. And so one of the things she had asked me was, do you know anybody that can take care of this? I'm too embarrassed to actually tell a potential partner. Fortunately, I had a couple of duckling men that I knew who were high class and, you know, really great guys who were single, who could, you know, help a girl out. And so that the deal was you had to take the guys for dinner and they would leave with your V card.
If I could add my 2%, it's only weird that you're still a virgin at 31 if you think it's weird that you're still a virgin at 31. If you're happy with it, then awesome. But if it's bothering you, then it's time to take action. And as we've already talked about, there's lots of options out there. Escorts, sex surrogates, as Sue just described. And we mentioned her a few shows ago, but there's actually a woman who works at a brothel in Nevada. She's very disarming, really fun. Her name is Alice Little, and she actually specializes in virgins. And she even does online seminars. I know she's on Instagram. She's on TikTok as well. Look for Alice Little.
Your Facebook feed and Instagram feed is way more interesting than mine, and mine's pretty damn interesting.
Next up on the podcast, you want to talk about sex after 50.
I do. And it's still a thing. We mentioned last week that there was a study out of the UK that people asked what their sexiest age was, and it came up as 53, and we did a little happy dance because, you know, we're you know, both of us start with a five. But it realizes that, you know, it doesn't stop. And for some people, what happens is, you know, tired is a thing, and sex needs, you know, concentration and energy. And there's a lot of pressure at people at our age. We're still working our little asses off. You know, there's relationship difficulties. We're worried about family members. We're juggling, you know, demands of kids and parents and trying to come up with that. And then you add menopause to the mix.
Right.
And it's like doctors are getting pushback in their desire about desire. And they're, you know, saying looking at you with amazement that you haven't given it up yet. And you're just like, fuck off. Of course I haven't given it up yet. I want to be 94 and still having great sex. Damn Skippy. But the idea is that it's, it's still a negotiation. And sex after 50 requires, as I said, energy. And there's a couple of new things that are saying to people, don't expect to have it after 8 o'clock at night. There was a Mark Manson quote that said, you know, he didn't want to be that person in his 20s at 40 who had, you know, limited alcohol and was going to bed at 9 o'clock and up in the morning and realize. And I'm like, why did it take so long to do that? Because I'm in bed every night at 10 and up at 6. And they're saying that the best sex you can have when you're over 50 is morning sex, because you're still waking up with wood, or you should be. And if not, there are boner pills, and that your testosterone's highest in the morning. And for women, you're more likely to wake up lubricated than not. So if you can get past the morning breath and the fact that you're a little bit dozy and you need a cup of coffee to get moving, morning sex after 50 is still the best thing.
Our final topic today on Turned On with Sue and John, I want to find my kink. Oh, how can we help you?
It is one of the most common questions. And, you know, and I say that as a sex therapist, I've had like the same questions over and over and over for 30 years, right? How do I increase my libido? We have differing desires. I have sexual anxiety, premature ejaculation, ED, all of those things. But it's becoming more apparent. And I mentioned how swinging, which is why it's such a topic on here, is now in the top three most common things I hear about. It used to be in the top 10. But what's rising up faster than anything is I want to figure out how to be kinky. I want to be kinky. I want to have my own unique thing. We're all at a space where we want to be unique, but that idea of exchanging power is still incredibly hot for people. And I know you have recommended FetLife a number of times. And
well, I do, and I don't. I got a love hate with FetLife. Well, I've got a love hate with FetLife. I think if you are a woman on FetLife, the world is your oyster. But as I've often said on this podcast, and I stand by it, if you're a guy, do not expect a reply. FetLife is dead to straight men. They're just not getting any traction. And that's not just me saying, it's other men that I communicate with. So it's an interesting little space. Do you think, like, kink to me, I think is synonymous with BDSM. And a kink doesn't necessarily have to be tie me up, hurt me, spank me. A kink is, I mean, tickle me with a feather is a kink. You know, dipping hot wax on your skin is a kink. So there's all kinds of different levels of what is a kink. And same could be said for fetish. But I think kink, when people hear that word, they instantly go, you know, to the tie me up, leather, spanking, that kind of realm.
Pain. Yeah. For a lot of people, because it's, not interesting at all. Well, there's a workshop.
Which is more defined as BDSM or S&M as opposed to kink.
S&M.
Right.
As opposed to kink. So in New York City, they have a dominatrix who's leading a, you know, how to explore your kink and how to determine whether or not you're kinky. You know, it's $4,000. You want to fly to New York and they'll give you all kinds of different seminars. We did one with the Ducklings where we did, it was called, you know, it was called Church of BDSM. And basically we had a wax play and we had sounding, which is little bars up your penis. And we had something called the VacuBed, which is latex. And it's
still dying to do that, by the way.
All right. It was super fun, except it was hot, but they had different kinds of stations. And that is what they're doing, only, you know, at 100 times the price of what we charged.
Yeah.
But there are still ways to ask questions. And the events on FetLife, if somebody asked me about FetLife, I would say it's fantastic for the event listing in your area. So
agreed on that 100%.
Yeah, just go to the event listing and show up, see what they have, because everybody's trying to get really clear information and they are doing consent better than anybody. They really are. That it's, you know, just saying no is no longer just a negotiation, which I'm so happy with. It's you're allowed to say no, and it's not the you know, the beginning of opening a conversation. No, it's absolutely there. It's a full sentence. And I think that the kink community does that better than anybody. So if you want to explore that, check out the listings for events in FetLife. And realize that you're not alone in your confusion and your curiosity, because everybody wants to be a little kinky.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.